Good evening, James McCanny here with my Science Hour, February 23rd, 2017. Many, many topics to cover tonight. Main science topic, I'll be talking about a number of scientific issues, outer space. But also, there's just entirely too much bad press going to a guy named Albert Einstein these days. And it's really, really misguided. So I'm going to try and put some direction on that and talk about things he did and put them into perspective. Because when all of a sudden somebody gets slammed, but it's so universal in broad spectrum, and then you see some of the sources, some of the paid disinformation sources, some of them you'd be very surprised to find out they are on the payroll of the CIA. But when you see this kind of barrage, you have to dig a little bit deeper and say, what is the agenda? What did Albert Einstein do to offend somebody? Anyway, I'll dig into that a little bit also. First of all, report that during the Obama administration, $150 billion, that's 15% of a trillion, that's a lot of change, was put into alternative energy. And I knew when they started doing this, they said, oh, they're going to put government money into alternative energy. I knew it would be just a giant boondoggle. And these mega projects and mega corporations that started up to gobble up this government money are all belly up. Not a single one of them succeeded. Just dinosaurs sitting out in the middle of the desert or wherever they are, failures. And as I've always said, the only thing that's going to get funded are projects that aren't going to work. They have no hope of working. And of course, they love to give those projects big money because the people are out there and... Believe me, I mentioned this on John Moore's show yesterday, and he goes, yep, the boats and the houses down in Florida and the Corvettes are still running and operating. You betcha. You bet your bottom dollar and all $150 billion that all of those bennies are out there running. And, I have tried to work with the wing generator to get funding, etc. And I don't know if everybody who's listening knows the story, but I had three major funding efforts underway and locations to build out of the United States to build the first. We were looking at a 100-foot wing generator. We had the engineering companies in line to do the critical design work, etc., because that's a big unit. There's a lot of forces, a lot of structural dynamics there. And all three of them went bye-bye when we were at critical stages. And not just away, the people simply dropped off. There was simply no way to communicate with these people anymore. And so you know that that's more than happenstance. Anything that's going to work is not going to get real funding. And so that's why I have worked out of my normal routine, within my normal routine on the wing generator. It's not going to be very long now. There's two developments that are running in parallel. And anyway, that's all I'm going to say about that. But just horrendous. $150 billion in alternative energy, all of it belly up. And in my book, The Wing Generator, when I started developing The Wing Generator, I set one criteria, and one criteria only. Will it replace the nuclear and coal-generated power of the world? Will it do that? And if it can't, if it's just some kind of little add-on and a little touchy-feely, feel-good, it's going to add a little bit here or there, then it's not worth pursuing because typically those will be shut down because they only interfere with the central power company. And I'll repeat, another criteria is that when the central power companies are replaced by real, and I don't even use the word alternative energy because it's so ridiculous, it has so many ridiculous connotations. When you think of alternative energy, what you think of is something that might add a little bit, something that's going to make the tree huggers hug the trees even harder. And so, you know, it's I'm somewhat of a tree hugger myself. I'm an ecologically sound person. But unfortunately, oh my goodness, the ecology people are so easily fooled and boondoggled and swayed. But at any rate, more on that in the future. This just blew my mind. This guy, Chris Wallace, he's on Fox News, supposedly a hard-hitting, you know, news reporter, did one of the debates, was the narrator for one of the debates. And the other day he goes to, he's interviewing Rush Limbaugh, of all people, on Fox News. And he says, here's a new term. This is Chris Wallace speaking. A new term, deep state, that he had just heard about. And I'm thinking, oh my goodness. These people, could they possibly really be this stupid? Or, I mean, are they programmed to be this stupid? Are they in the morning coffee? Are they pouring, you know, ether? I mean, what on earth? How could these people be so stupid and allegedly be at the top of the news ladder? Oh, anyway, enough of that. Comet 45P Honda Marcos, little green comet passing by Earth nearest approach this past month, and I think it was the 11th of February, but a little bright green comet. And why are comets green? It's because they're lighting up like a light bulb. The standard concept that you hear about in the news media is that they're reflecting the CO2 in the comet is reflecting sunlight. I guarantee you that's could not possibly be true. And who is propagating this myth? All you have to do is take a tube and a vacuum tube with CO2 in it and shine a bright light on it, you're not going to get reflected light. You may get a little bit of emission, but you're not going to get reflected light. It's just so beyond absurd that scientists would even make a statement like that. I'm looking through my notes here. Oh, the California dam at Oroville. Oh, my goodness. You want to see government in chaos? Just look at the people there that are engineers looking at this dam. This is an earthen dam. It's also used for hydro. But the spring melt has not even begun yet. So when that spring melt occurs, when the water comes down from the mountains, from the spring melt, and combine that with a couple good rainstorms, 3 to 5 inches, because the drainage basin is rather large for this lake, I really don't see that this is going to maintain, because there's already a good deal of erosion in the base structure, and I hope that's not true. I would hope not, but the consequences are extreme. Once that dam breaks, and if there's a tremendous amount of water backed up and the dam breaks, it's going to wash a path all the way to the ocean and take everything in its path. Water is not forgiving. It doesn't have a conscience. So that's something to keep an eye on. 770 feet tall. So when the water comes bounding down that hillside, what I said they should do is simply eliminate it altogether. In other words, break the spillways right now, let the water drain down as far as it can go, and eliminate the use of that watershed restriction, that dam, and let as much water as possible go. As soon as the water hits that basin, it should be going down the hill and off to the ocean. Otherwise, if you try and dam it up and resist it, and all of a sudden you get a couple heavy rainfalls, that will assure that the snowmelt will occur all at one time. Adios, amigo. So at any rate, and the question comes up, is this being done on purpose? I don't know. These weather patterns, I can tell you California is one of the most weather manipulated regions in the world. Also Florida. I'm not sure why those two states get the business, but that's the way it is. Okay, well, more commentary on that later. The election is coming up in Ecuador. The current president, Rafael Correa, is leaving office. He's been there 12 years, and he's just worn out, I believe. But he has a follower, somebody that's going to come in after him. It looks like he's going to win. But then you have the banker opposition, literally the opposing running the party is headed by a banker. Big surprise. You can see the marks of the CIA in there trying to get Ecuador back for the bankers, trying to accuse the incumbent party of corruption, etc. The people in Ecuador love the president and everything he's done. He's built roads. They're independent in energy, both petroleum and electricity. They have excellent food. They have resisted any GMO. The food is grown locally. They have Buy Ecuador First, which has really worked. And the country subsidizes the agriculture so that the farmers are guaranteed a price for their crop, and they don't take less. It's really a good system. And oddly enough, their currency is the U.S. dollar. So when the dollar fluctuates internationally, Ecuador just rides right with it, which is very interesting. And it works very well for them. They're not subject to the fluctuations that many of the other third world countries have a just tremendously difficult time dealing with that international monetary exchange rate constantly fluctuating. But anyway, that's something I'll continue to follow. As the bankers try to take over, they've taken over Argentina, Brazil, and Peru in the last year and a half. And so they've lost a lot of ground. There's places they're not going to get back. And by the way, poor Venezuela is under sanctions. Their crime against humanity is not selling in the petrodollar. So anyway, considered the axis of evil. Remember that? Oh, my goodness. Yeah, just another third world country trying to make ends meet. And there you had the president with very good social programs, a lot of the people seeing a doctor or a dentist for the first time in their lives. So people understand that they're being dumped on because of the United States, who spearheads the world bankers around the world. If you're wondering how this works, if you're new to this topic, read the book Confessions of an Economic Hitman by John Perkins. Many people sent in this story. NASA scientists want to rename the moon as a planet. And that's because the scientist who was head of the New Horizons project that went to Pluto said Pluto has geology. These people are geologists. And I have, by the way, a bit more respect for geologists at NASA than I do for the space scientists at NASA. But still, they're still dealing with antiquated theories. If you come up to Pluto, which they did, and you see bubbling water creating mountains, something, you know, this tells you there's an internal heat source within Pluto. And if it's been sitting out there for 4.5 billion years, excuse me, boys and girls, there's no way that this thing is going to show any form of internal geological, you know, structure or activity. Plus, they determined that it had a comet tail, which I predicted months before. I said, you're going to see Pluto with a comet tail. The actual distant photos that they took of Pluto in the moon system showed all the moons and Pluto, you know, very much with comet tails. The moons, you could see the tails swinging around as they went around the orbit in Pluto. But here's the problem. Let's stop Mickey Mousing around with whether we're going to name it a moon or a planet. You know, their theoretical basis is so ridiculous. The reason they demoted Pluto from being a planet is because if they allowed Pluto to be a planet, then they had 40 or 50 other planets that they had to call planets, and everybody was going to go, oh, well, how come now we got, you know, I was taught in grade school, we had 9, now we got 59. And so it would raise that in the public sky and bring up the topic of planet 10 or planet X. And then the question comes up, are there big ones out there? And if there's small ones, there must be big ones, you know, etc. So NASA wants to control this dialogue. But anyway, this is just more happy you-know-what coming out of NASA. It's absurd. It's an absurd ploy. And also, I saw a thing that they're saying, a couple of yo-yos from NASA are saying that Mars, two moons are crumbling apart and that they're going to form a ring around Mars in 70 million years. Now, I have a saying in science, if you can't prove it, don't say it. If you want to project or you want to theorize, something I do a lot of, you better have some experimentation, experimental proof, in a reasonable amount of time and with reasonable available equipment. Otherwise, please don't talk about it, because unprovable theories are that, unprovable theories. So at any rate, by the way, I got a kick out of this one. NASA, I think, is feeling the pressure that Trump is going to put them on the chopping block, which he should. NSA and NASA both should be just axed completely. Send those people out to work at McDonald's because they have produced nothing. I saw an article exonerating NASA for all its innovation, and 8 of the 10 innovative things they could think of happened over 20 years ago, and most of them were in the alleged Apollo program. So just, you know, there's really nothing has happened in the last decades and decades at NASA. So just flush it out and let private enterprise take over the realm of outer space. And they will do much better, because the proof is in the pudding. NASA has not been able to do anything. Their, what is it called, the SLS, the Space Launch System, is behind schedule. But I got a kick out of this. They want to send 3 guys around the moon and bring them back, something they claim that they did with Apollo 8 in like the early 1960s. And I'm like, wait a minute. I never heard about this. All of a sudden, NASA is making this claim that they sent guys around the moon and brought them back. And I'm going, wait a minute, I knew all about the space program. Where did this slip in? This card slip in the middle of the deck. You know, it's, wait a minute. And who were these amazing astronauts that allegedly went around the moon and came back? Wait a minute, Batman and Robin. Where on earth did this pop out? Like I say, how come, where was this Joker card in the middle of the deck? Well, enough of that. This is a serious situation in Europe, Northern Europe, and up into the far Northern European countries. Iodine-131 is a radioactive isotope, has an 8-day half-life, which means it's very short-lived, and it's being detected in abundance. This is a byproduct of a nuclear reactor for energy, for electricity, and if you go west, it starts in central Spain. So there's one of 2 nuclear power plants that this could be attributed to, and there's in the news media and the announcements, they're saying they really don't know where this is coming from. Well, how absurd. There's only two nuclear reactors that this could be coming from, and it would take you about a New York half second to figure out which one it was. So why are they covering this up? Now, if you can detect this in Norway, in northern Russia, then we're talking about considerable amounts of release. And why are they covering this up? So we have a nuclear power plant in central Spain going south, China syndrome, or, you know, leaking. And, you know, it's being covered up by the International Atomic Energy Organizations. All I can tell you is that in the United States, we could shut down all 104 nuclear power plants in the United States. We could shut them down today. We should. But you have a problem. Now you're going to have to burn coal to cool down the reactive byproducts, the fuel rods, the spent fuel rods. Now, the original fuel rods that were designed back in the 50s when they started designing nuclear power plants, they were low octane, and they did not require cooling. What they're using today is decommissioned nuclear bombs, the fuel, and that's what they're burning. It's really high octane stuff, and once you get the majority of heat out of it, then it's still very hot, and you have to cool this down. And if you don't, it's going to melt through the steel casks that these are in, and then you got a real problem because they're going to start to melt down the other ones next to them, and you got a big mess because they're storing the nuclear waste around the nuclear power plants. So then you have all the heavy water, all the other radioactive byproducts, not the least of which is the clothing of the people who work there, etc., is all, you know, third level radiation, but still it has to be kept in a secure area. It's an absolute giant mess. And the money they've been putting aside in the slush fund to keep, to decommission these nuclear reactors is nowhere near enough to decommission nuclear reactors that are failing. And they don't know. I guarantee you, all 104 nuclear reactors in the United States are leaking into the environment. The EPA and the Nuclear Regulatory Commission, the Atomic Energy Commission, etc., have failed the public. They have stopped monitoring. They stopped monitoring the release at Fukushima, which has gone China syndrome, which is a international disaster of mega proportions. Nuclear power should be absolutely banned from planet Earth. In any form, it should have the genie should have never been let out of the bottle. And once again, Albert Einstein opposed this. Oppenheimer, a lot of people that worked on the bomb came out afterwards and were politically ruined, their careers ruined, because they spoke out against the political efforts for nuclear power. So at any rate, in Spain, source allegedly unknown. There's only two power plants that it could be attributed to. And I just am speechless. My degree is in nuclear solid-state physics, and my entire life I've been opposed to nuclear power or nuclear weapons also. They're just horrific, and they have no place in any civilized world at all. Absolutely not. The nuclear reactors, as far as electricity in the United States, only provide 17% of our overall power. We could save, turn the light switches off, economize, and build up, increase the coal production just a bit, and we could easily, from both sides, quench that 17% of energy from nuclear power, get it out of here, stop it right now, and then work on a method of getting that nuclear waste. I once gave an example. This was in a show, and I don't have the exact numbers, but if you take the payload capability of the largest heavy lift rockets on Earth, it would take an unimaginable a number of launches to just get this stuff into low Earth orbit and then to get it out of Earth's low Earth orbit to eject beyond escape velocity would be just beyond any possible means. So we're stuck with this stuff on planet Earth. To try and put it in a cave out of sight, out of mind in Nevada or something is, again, beyond absurd. Because if they start to rupture, all the politicians will want to close that door and just pretend like it's not happening. We have to stop using nuclear power. There's just no way around it. Just a quick note, private space program, Elon Musk delaying his plans to go to Mars. So he had all of this fanfare, and I believe they're going to try an unmanned probe in 2020, so that's just 3 years away, delaying that. I think they're starting to realize that they're biting off a bit more than they can chew, and as a good investor, Elon Musk must realize that there's no return on investment. You know, I mean, eventually they might want to send tourists there, but, you know, walk up and down the street with a sign up here to go to Mars. I don't imagine you're going to get many people to take on that one. You might get some people like the Richard Branson, Virgin Galactic, to get some people to go into orbit and then glide back. Yeah, you're going to get some people to do that, pay some big money. But go to Mars, I don't think so, boys and girls. I don't think it's going to be a big seller. So at any rate, I promised I would do this a while ago. I'm listing fake news outlets. And these are both in general politics, etc., some dealing more with science than others. All of them do deal with science, but this is a partial list, and I'll be posting this on my webpage. So here is the list of fake news. ABC, Bloomberg, ABC, Bloomberg, CNN, NBC, MSNBC, Politico, Huffington Post, Vox, New York Times, Washington Post, LA Times, BuzzFeed, National Journal, Reuters, in England, BBC, Nature, Daily Mail, in the USA, Science, National Geographic, The History Channel, Astronomy Magazine, Sky and Telescope Magazine, Scientific American Magazine, the universities, tremendous source of disinformation regarding science, and the so-called respectable journals, Wikipedia, completely CIA-edited, scoured, and just a horrifically bad source of information. Websites. Also, Science is a journal equivalent to Nature in England. Science is the U.S. equivalent of that. But websites, weather.com, spaceweather.com, Rothschild-owned to present false information to you, the public. Space.com, IntelliCast, NOAA, NASA, the World Health Organization, the Center for Disease Control, the American Geophysical Union, and the list goes on and on. So those are some of them. There's a very long list, and at any rate, be aware that not only the political news or economic news is completely fabricated baloney in these sources, but the science that comes out of them is equally distorted. So, more on that later. Like I say, I'll be posting those on my webpage. Check that out. Just a little update on my sales page. The water filters now, I finally decided to go through with this. I'm selling them with two filter elements. The prices are reduced for the stainless and the plastic, and then you could add filters as you like. But there's many reasons for that. Also, the 1 liter filters, the price has been reduced due to removing one of the filter elements. Just to get the price down to a more reasonable level for that initial purchase. And then, of course, you can always add one or two or how many filter elements you want extra, which I recommend. So that's just something we're trying as a marketing plan. The economy, and this I talk to a lot of talk show hosts, all of the talk show host sales are down, including mine. So if you need water filters or you're thinking about getting something or books or whatever, that would help things out quite a bit. Also, my paid cast, that's something that has been a big help. So if you're not part of the paid cast, $3.95 a month for four or five, depending on the number of Thursdays in a month, deep dives into esoteric scientific topics. That's a big help for me. And so anyway, just want to let you know the webpage is there. And I have the best, you know, I'm not going to brag, but I'm going to. I have the best water filter products on the planet. All-in-one filtration, nobody else has that, simply put, where you can get arsenic and fluoride and chloramines and glyphosates all in one, filter element, all removed. And plus, they let the beneficial minerals pass through. So go to my webpage, not going to dwell on this on the air, but go to the webpage, jmccsci.com. That's seven letters, jmccsci.com, and join the paid cast. If you're already in the paid cast, turn some of your friends toward that the link there and have them sign up. I really am proud of that paid cast. It's allows me, there's so many weekly topics in this show that I cover that the paid cast allows me that full hour start to finish on a scientific topic. Last week, a very good show, Tesla versus Einstein. This week, the paid cast is episode 2 of my ongoing Cosmos series, which leverages off the topics, the talking points of the Carl Sagan Cosmos series in 1980 and the Neil deGrasse Tyson Cosmos series of like 2014, a couple years ago. I basically take their talking points and show how they're just, let me say nicely, full of baloney, and then talk about real science and use those as a platform for talking about real science, what's really going on out in the universe. Okay, enough of that. So last week I talked about Einstein and Tesla, the combination of the two and how they Tesla was older by about 20 years than Einstein, and they were concurrent when they were doing their important work. They were basically in New York at the same time, and they knew each other. In fact, there's a quote that they asked each other about each other. They asked Tesla about Einstein, and Tesla had a very interesting response, but he was also aware that general relativity had gotten totally out of hand, something Einstein agreed with. And Einstein's response was, they said, "Are you the greatest scientist in the world?" He said, "Go talk to Tesla." And so they kind of played off each other in a humorous manner, I believe, and but fully aware that they were very good physicists and not boisterous, not bragging about their own accomplishments. But lately, Einstein has been taking some unnecessary flack. And I tried to dig into it, and when I see this happening, I have a classical physics education. Einstein is central in a lot of fields of study. Not just one. A lot of people, if you asked what did he get his Nobel Prize for, they might say relativity or something, if they even knew that much. But he got it for the photoelectric effect, which was a groundbreaking discovery. And here is the crux of the issue. The people that are running around saying Einstein was a plagiarist or that he was robbed everything he did, that's complete garbage. This is coming from people, and I've listened to their, you know, BS. Is really disgusting because they don't understand science. They're not scientists at all. None of these people were even trained as scientists. They didn't understand the history of science or what had developed. And you have to understand Tesla and Einstein were immersed in a time where great advancements were happening at the same at that time. Tesla was on the leading cutting edge of what he was doing in electromagnetism regarding inventions, etc. And Einstein had the ability to come in on these extremely important, and you might call them small, like the photoelectric effect, which he won the Nobel Prize for, later proven by Compton scattering in the 7 years later. Compton got the Nobel Prize for confirming one aspect of Einstein's photoelectric effect. But not Tesla, by the way, worked in the photoelectric effect and invented the first photoelectric tubes, vacuum tubes, and used them in some of his inventions. But Tesla was not a theoretical guy. He did not work in the realm of quantum mechanics. And Einstein was a theoretical physicist. But back to Einstein. What Einstein did was he came along and at the right time, the right place, at the right time, put the key in the lock and turned it. He brought up concepts that everybody else was walking around scratching body parts and trying to, they couldn't figure out, none of the experiments fit together, the Michelson-Morley experiment or the other experiments with light. None of them made sense. And Einstein came in and said that light moves at the same velocity relative to the observer. And other people had made some kind of statements before. And you get this. You get this in science. And you could go all the way back to Newton, who said that light is corpuscular in nature. Well, Newton really did not understand about the wavelength and the wave nature. And Newton was the guy who first used prisms to break light apart into its component parts. So all of this had been developed, and there was the Lorentz transformation equations had been developed to translate between frames of reference between observers in the situation dealing with light. But Einstein came along and he said, okay, here's the solution, that if a observer or an atom or whatever sends off a particle of light, a beam of light, a wave of length of light, that it leaves that observer at the speed of light. And then everybody else in the universe is moving relative to that source. And they might be moving away, they might be moving towards or whatever. But when that light photon reaches the receiver, no matter how that receiver is moving, the light is going to be received at the speed of light. Now, this is totally nonsensical. It doesn't make sense in any form, shape of classical physics. And if you do that, once you break the equations out and you put them into the Lorentz transformation and you combine it with the Michelson-Morley experiment that light does not have a ether-based frame of reference, then a whole series of other equations come out, which we call special relativity. So to imagine that someone else did this at some other point in time is beyond absurd. And so Einstein was in the right place at the right time. And when he wrote his 1905 paper, Einstein did not like the journals, just like I do not like the journals. They're a giant political monopoly, good old boy, you know, pat yourself on the back and pat everybody else on the back. The so-called respectable peer-reviewed journals, Einstein wanted nothing to do with them. He had two published papers in his life, and in a sense, that's the boat I'm in. I had two published papers in peer-reviewed journals, and I realized that it was a giant political arena. It was a 27-ring circus with a bunch of clowns jumping up and down saying, look at me, my stuff is important. And these people get to peer-review everybody else's papers. So it's a big mess. Peer review is a giant mess, but it's necessary because there's a lot of lunatics out there that really shouldn't have anything even close to publication. And we see that too. I have a page on my homepage. It's a subpage called the peer review critique subpage. Just scroll down. You'll see it. Go in there and read that. And then I have my top 10 reasons why I don't submit my material to peer-reviewed journals. Go read that. I'm not going to repeat it on the air. But you really should go read that. Take, you know, an hour of your time. It's on my homepage, jmccsci.com. It's called the scroll down. It's in the center column where the links to the radio archive shows and all of that. Just scroll down a little bit more and you'll see the peer review critique subpage. Go there, read it. And one of my commentaries is that peer review journals are like an old man driving slow in the left lane. He has plenty of spare room in front of him. He just can't figure out why all those other people are trying to get around him, honking and trying to get around him. That's one of my expressions. But no, peer review is disgusting. And the reality is that the majority of really good research is never submitted to peer-reviewed journals or published in peer-reviewed journals. And that includes mathematics. That includes physics and physical chemistry, etc. In chemistry, the really good stuff is never published in peer-reviewed journals. So I don't know why people are jumping up and down, making this big stink about how wonderful peer review is. It sucks. It's a piece of donkey dung, and it's an unfortunate necessity in the world of academia, but they use it as a monopoly tool. Okay, so Einstein didn't have anything to do with peer review journals. So his two published articles, which were dealing with the relative motion of in electromagnetic frames of reference, he doesn't list any references. And that's kind of like throwing your finger up to the academic elite. Like, and so they asked him about it, and he said, what I did has nothing to do with what anybody else did. And so in the critiques, they say, well, he stole the Lorentz transformation. A third grader in physics could figure out and write the Lorentz transformations, which is between moving frames of reference in the world of electromagnetism. It's not that hard to do. And so, but that's not what special relativity is about. Special relativity is the key where you put this concept into the equations of translating between frames of reference, and out come this voluminous, voluminous amount of equations, what we call special relativistic equations, and not the least of which is a little equation called E equals mc squared, which was the basis for nuclear energy. And for anybody, these yo-yos running around criticizing Einstein, for anybody to say that other people had developed this and Einstein stole it is ludicrous. It is absolutely ludicrous, and everybody at the time, 1905, they were blown away, and they didn't understand it. It took a long time for people to get their brains wrapped around special relativity. And for some yo-yo that isn't even has no degree in science and tries to look through the history books and say, well, Einstein took the Lorentz transformations and didn't whatever. No, he didn't steal the Lorentz transformations. They're very easily derivable by anybody who knows about electromagnetic theory. But the key is Einstein put the key in the lock, turned it, and then brought out all of this voluminous amount of equations for special relativity. And it, like I say, when you go in and study special relativity, it's complicated. I mean, you've got to get your brain wrapped around this, and you better understand classical physics very well before you do it. Okay, let's talk about the photoelectric effect. People had been working around this in laboratories, etc. But once again, Einstein realized and developed the equations and a very beautiful little experiment and proved that light was quantized. And so a very important experiment, and that opened up the door. Now, in history, for hundreds of years prior, it was like a tennis match that went between wave nature of light and particle weight nature of light and wave nature of light and particle weight nature of light, and it went back and forth. And at the time, then around 1916 to 20, when Einstein did this, the current belief was that the wave nature of light dominated and that could explain everything. And so when Einstein did the photoelectric effect, showing that you could, certain experiments where light could be attributed to particle nature and no relation to wave nature, this brought about the duality nature of light, that if it's acting like a particle, it's acting like a particle. If it's acting wave-like, then it's wave-like, okay? And so this was a major first, and it took, once again, a lot of people had to wrap their brains around this because the wave nature of light was prominent at that time. So once again, what did Einstein do? He went against the grain and proved it. And it was a little piece. It was like that little key that went into the little lock, opened it up, and was a fabulous discovery. He got the Nobel Prize, and rightly so. Then came general relativity. Now, this is going back in history again. The concept of the principle of equivalence, that if you do an experiment in an accelerating elevator, then it should look, all of your experimental results should look the same as if you're standing on a planet with the same acceleration due to gravity. But Einstein had a problem with it. He said, and he wrote in his autobiography, Out of My Later Years is the name of the book. You can look at, I think it's page 105. I can't remember exactly. It's in my three-part comment paper. But Einstein said that he did not believe in the gravitational effect of bending of light or producing redshifts or in black holes and all the other things that went along with general relativity. He did not believe in, because he said it did not include the total field, which means it didn't include the nuclear fields, but more so did not include electric and magnetic fields. How can you have gravity affecting light when there was no known source of electric conditioning of light or modification of light properties with electricity and magnetism? So he died with Velikovsky's book open on his desk, Worlds in Collision, Velikovsky's first major book. And he was reading it, trying to get a handle on what was causing this electrical stuff in outer space. Einstein and Velikovsky were good friends. A friend of mine, his name is Warner Sizemore. I have 2 hours of interview with Warner on my 2-CD set. It's called 18 Hours Lecture MP3 Series of Planet X and Ancient Celestial Disasters. That's 18 hours of MP3 lectures. It's for sale on my webpage. But in there, I've got 2 hours of interview with Warner Sizemore. Warner Sizemore was Velikovsky's personal secretary throughout his entire time at Princeton. And Warner was there every day. And it was not unusual for Einstein to come over and play his violin or have supper and talk. It was just part of the Velikovsky house. So for people now to claim that there was no relationship between Einstein and Velikovsky is a lie. Now we're getting to the core of the matter here. Why are they slamming Einstein? Literally, one of the most creative, and okay, let's look at other things Einstein did. The Brownian motion solution, a statistical solution for Brownian motion, particles, the very light particles moving around in a gas. What caused this motion? Einstein solved that. Einstein did a lot of in statistics. He developed tensor analysis, a mathematical structure so complicated that very few people really understand it truly, with Minkowski, a great mathematician. Einstein was all over the board. Major, major discoveries and work. Through his last decade or two, Einstein was working on the unification of the fields, where they were working with electricity, magnetism, and gravity, and the short-range nuclear forces, etc., trying to understand how they could be unified into a single cohesive theory, something that's still not solved today. So anyway, Einstein was all over the place. Literally, and when you look at the diversity of what he did, he could have gotten 5 Nobel Prizes, easily, maybe more. But they typically only give you one, you get one, and he got that early in his career. But Einstein was a great scientist. He was not a someone who stole work. Now imagine the probability that he happened to be in somebody else's laboratory at just the right time where he could steal the work and go publish it, and nobody noticed until the year 2015. Excuse me, boys and girls, this story is so preposterous. Now you have to come back to the question, why are they dumping on Einstein? Okay, why on the planet Earth are they dumping on Einstein? Well, the core of the issue is that if you can establish that Einstein and Velikovsky were best friends, Einstein was digging into the real root cause of electromagnetism in the solar system, and that is fully supportive of basically what I did, created the theory that explains comets and the, not just comets, that's just a byproduct of the solar capacitor, which is created by a differential wind of protons in the solar wind. And the non-uniform electric fields, the induced electric dipole redshift, which is what Einstein was looking for. This is all my work from 1979 to 81 when I was at Cornell. And so basically what I'm telling you is that if one could, establish a connection between Einstein and Velikovsky, now, let's understand something. Both Einstein and Velikovsky were Jews. And if we look at the world banking elite, we find them of the same gender. And so, but they're not afraid to dump on their own kind if it suits their needs. And so Einstein, the recent dumping on Einstein as some kind of a plagiarist scoundrel is absurd. It doesn't hold water in any form of historical context. But you start looking at the people who are pushing this, and you realize that these are people who've been bought and paid for or nearly run out of Dodge and then came back because they bought in to the CIA under the table money, etc. And that's what's going on. Those are the people who are promoting this garbage. So I don't quite understand it, because there are some people who are coming across with this message that are very anti-Jewish, and there again it's kind of puzzling because both Einstein and Velikovsky were Jewish. But when you understand what the biggest quandary of the, whether you call them the New World Order, the Jesuit bankers, the Vatican, the Rothschild, which is the front organization for the Vatican worldwide banking cartel. If you look at their biggest problem, they can control the news about the stock market, about the election, about immigration, about all the other problems that are going on in the world today. I mean, political figures come and go, etc. But the one thing they cannot control, and they are insistent on controlling the public, the one thing that they cannot control is if all of a sudden the public wakes up one day and realizes that there's big things up in the sky, not just little poofy snowball comets that can hit the Earth occasionally and make a little dent here or there. No, we're talking about the Noah's flood. We're talking about the Venus event with Moses, you know, leading the Israelites out of Egypt, who were in a captivity because of credit, the same thing that's going on today. They realize that the one thing they can't control, just like Pharaoh tried to control everything and eventually he lost. Why? Because there are some things in the universe, namely comets, big comets, not little Halley's Comet comets, big comets, that can ravage the solar system, and these are the Planet X objects. So they want to divide and conquer. They don't want it to be known that Velikovsky and Einstein were good buddies, that Velikovsky's work could be corroborated because of the very deep interest that Einstein had in Velikovsky. And then you get down to the real reason for dumping on Einstein. Because it's very clear, if you understand, Einstein and Velikovsky were very good friends. They hung out together. They ate supper together. Velikovsky's house was a place where Einstein came to play his violin, which he did. He was known for that. And so if you realize this, all of a sudden, the Einstein factor in Velikovsky, and why did they dump on Velikovsky? It wasn't because he was trying to invade astronomy or the hallowed halls of astronomy. He had hit the mother load of information that in historical times, the Earth had been devastated by a large comet, and Mars had also. This is the bastion of secret knowledge at the core of the elite. Let's just put it that way. Therein, Velikovsky had breached the inner chamber and had to be destroyed. So they got Carl Sagan and all the boys to destroy him. And after they got done with it, they were able to piecemeal divide up the booty. And like Stephen Jay Gould, took credit for one of Velikovsky's big discoveries that evolutionary biology happens in radical quick changes. Yeah, Stephen Jay Gould ripped that off of Velikovsky and posthumously got a big award for it. What a bunch of, what a big crock. So anyway, it was important to discuss this matter because you're going to see more and more of this slamming of Einstein. They've already dealt with Velikovsky, ruined his name completely, and now the because of the association of Einstein, this is something I've been promoting a lot, they're trying to head it off at the pass and discredit one Mr. Albert Einstein. And, I mean, he was the Time Man of the Century, remember, on the cover of Time magazine. But what does this send a message to other scientists? Hey, if you cross this line, this is what will happen to you too. You'll be discredited, your name will be dragged through the mud, and forever you'll be known as a scoundrel, a thief, and a liar. That's what's going to happen. So at any rate, the only person that is not worried about this is one person you're listening to right now. I don't care about these people. I don't care what they think or what they say. Albert Einstein was a great scientist, probably the greatest scientist in hundreds of years. There were many, but he was one of the greats, along with Tesla and many others. But understand why they're doing this. This is Jim McCanny. This is my Science Hour. And as always, we are at the crossroads. Good night.